Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We face the most important election in American history. And we face a choice. Where will you stand on this battleground America? Here's your host, Tara Servatius.
You want proof? The Democrats want to do more than just defunding the police. They want to disarm who's ever left in order to protect the rioters. That sounds nuts, but there's no other conclusion you can draw when you look at this. They'll tell us all day long, no, shoot, we love police. No, they don't. All you need to see is Exhibit A, this bill co-sponsored by Democrat Senators Ed Markey and Bernie Sanders. This is jaw-dropping. It would disarm all local U.S. police departments of tear gas, rubber bullets, and other riot control agents that are currently being used across the country, including plastic bullets and beanbag rounds. So no ability whatsoever to control violent rioters. Advantage? Violent rioters. You can't draw any other conclusion than that the Democrats are protecting their own street activists. Let's not kid ourselves. These are not peaceful protests. Again, Princeton University did a survey just a Black Lives Matter protest, and while 2,200 were peaceful, 570 were not. They were violent and destructive. And that's just in a three-month period in 220 locations. So the Democrats simultaneously, while pretending that these rioters aren't tearing up cities, $30 million worth of damage just to Kenosha, Wisconsin alone, they are talking about taking away the very few non-lethal ways that police can stop these rioters. Before we dig a little deeper into this legislation, let me play a reminder of what these rioters are like. Both Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other associated anarchist groups. Here's liberal Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler begging them to stop attempting to commit murder. This was earlier this year in Portland.
When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people that you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. You are attempting to commit murder. This is not the first time that people have tried to set fire to a city building with people intentionally trapped inside. Unfortunately, it's not even the second time. And by the way, this building is in a residential neighborhood attached directly to neighborhood homes. This can't be okay.
In a preview of the way that officers around the country will literally be handcuffed, department after department, if Democrats win, Senator Markey put out this tweet about his disarm the police bill. And again, this would be Congress forcibly disarming the police of anything they could use to stop rioters. Short of course, their guns, which they wouldn't use to stop the rioters, because we'd never hear the end of it. He said, quote, Portland police routinely attack peaceful protesters with brute force. We must disarm these officers and every other police department in America of weapons of war and enact a nationwide ban on tear gas, rubber and plastic bullets, and beanbag rounds. He posted that on Twitter. He continued, our streets are not meant to be battlefields, and law enforcement shouldn't be using weapons of war against protesters and other Americans. Law enforcement's use of tear gas also compounds the effect of structural racism. Yes, it's better to just let them burn a building down. It's much better that way. Because we know communities of color are already suffering disproportionately during this global respiratory pandemic. So there's the goal, folks. Disarm the police, advantage rioters. That idea had African-American Detroit police chief, where they've had quite a few riots there in Detroit, had his head spinning on Martha McCallum. Take a listen to his reaction to that.
This is from Senator Ed Markey, who just won a tight election in Massachusetts. He is saying that we must disarm officers. There's a lot of back and forth over what it means to defund the police, but he's really laying it out quite clearly. This is Ed Markey. Portland police routinely attack peaceful protesters with brute force. We must disarm these officers and every other police department in America of weapons of war and enact a nationwide ban on tear gas, rubber and plastic bullets, and beanbag rounds. What would you say to Ed Markey, sir?
Absolutely ridiculous. You know what I find fascinating, Martha? And even Rashida Tlaib here out of my state here in Michigan, who is calling for me to resign. Let me just say this. When are we going to start talking about disarming criminals? I've been on the record. I support law-abiding citizens to be armed. But criminals? And so it's okay to attack police officers? And then everyone always says one thing. These were peaceful protesters. So I guess when you're throwing Molotov cocktails, railroad spikes, other projectiles, you're using green lasers, I guess that constitutes being peaceful. Yeah. We have never tried to stop folks from their right to free speech. We've been dealing with this for in excess of 100 days. Six instances where we've had to use force because they were either attacking us or they resisted a lawful arrest. Enough is enough.
Again, folks, this just gives you a glimpse of where they intend to go if, God forbid, they win the presidency and the Senate. The Senate's going to be really close this time. It's only going to take the flipping of a couple of seats to make the difference there. Think about it, folks. Do you really think they'll give up their shock troops? I mean, it's power. They never surrender power once they get it. I think about it. You've got a group of people only marginally tied to you who will go to the homes of your political enemies and harass them in front of their neighborhoods, who will induce fear in anybody who, you know, wants to speak out in public and question whatever the party wants to do. They might end up on your front yard. Heck, they might burn your house down. Will the police stop them? See, that's the problem there. The way the police work, if you've ever spent any time with police officers, and I've spent a lot of time riding around in cars as a former crime reporter, they're taught to escalate violence. They don't go for their gun every time. They shouldn't. They might, you know, start with a verbal warning. Then they advance to perhaps the taser. And then when that doesn't work, they go to the gun. They're not supposed to go directly to the gun. Well, if you take away their means of controlling rioting crowds, all that's left are bullets. And those are useless. And your gun runs out of bullets, and then what? They run over you. Plus, you can't use them anyway because you'll end up being prosecuted. You can't use the gun. So they're effectively disarming the police, and they know it, leaving them only the option of lethal force, which works for the left. Then you can demonize police more, get more people out in the streets, increase your power. Again, what is this, folks? Force multiplier. This is what I've been telling you. Force multiplier. This is exactly what the DAs in Portland and other places are doing when they refuse to prosecute the rioters for trespassing and, you know, intimidation and all of these other things that are interfering with arrests and all of that. Those are force multipliers, making a particular group of people with liberal privilege untouchable so they can better menace society into, quite frankly, shutting up. Minimize the opposition. Speaking of force multipliers and cancellation, big pitch for tomorrow's podcast. We're going to be talking with Alum Bakari. He's the author of the book Deleted and a Breitbart investigative reporter who's got sources deep inside Silicon Valley. And what he's forecasting is terrifying. It's the logical conclusion of cancel culture. Have you heard about the Chinese social credit system? Everybody gets a score that determines their value as a human being. And that score, in turn, affects your access to things like schools, jobs, even transportation. There are thousands of people in China who cannot fly or take a bus. Yep, your life literally grinds to a halt. He says it's coming here, but it's not going to be done in quite the same way the Chinese have done it. He said, this is really, really powerful and threatening. We're going to be in a future very soon. We'll talk about this tomorrow on the podcast, where everything you post on the internet is going to be scanned by these algorithms that they're developing in these tech companies. That's everybody from Google to Facebook to Twitter. and used to either suppress or promote you. So if the algorithm sees so-called hate speech, that'd be anything the left disagrees with, in your post, you're going to be buried down in the search results. You're not going to appear on trending topics. You might even be banned. All right, we already know about some of this. But here's how it works. These scores will begin to apply to people all the time. If you post hate speech too many times, your score will go down. Your post will get less viral. You'll be suppressed as a person. This is really a formula for censoring an entire movement at the same time because these algorithms scan people's posts automatically. Imagine you're an undecided voter, he says, and you're using the internet. If every conservative is being suppressed for hate speech, those messages that might persuade undecided voters might never actually reach them. And so he says what this will do ultimately is erase conservatism and populism as a philosophy from search results and ultimately the internet. But he's forecasting that these formulas that are in development right now in Silicon Valley and may even already be used can be applied in other ways very similar to the social credit score of the Chinese. And here's what he says. He was in an interview with Alex Marlowe, and again, we'll hear him tomorrow. He predicted denials of banking, subscription video services, credit, and even employment will occur if the momentum of leftist political coercion is unstopped. All of this, he said, is in play in the next 5, 10, 20 years if totalitarians win. In other words, your access to everything will be governed by your score. Because if you can't be a person on the internet, you will be increasingly useless to society. So let's say you amass a bad score for some stuff you said on Facebook and Twitter. Does that then mean that the website for your company, which may be totally unrelated to your politics, gets busted down in search results? That's how it works in China. And he argues that's where we're headed here. Entire movements censored based entirely on people's scores. And it's in development right now, if not already being used by Silicon Valley. So we'll have that tomorrow. It's a must-hear podcast with Alum Bakari, author of the book.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Meanwhile, folks, do you realize we're just 2 weeks out from the first presidential debate? Do you see what President Trump did? Joe Rogan, the podcaster, invited Biden and Trump to debate. 4-hour debate. Trump jumped on that right away. You know why? He knows Joe Biden can't do anything for 4 hours. He couldn't make it. He's trying to get Biden to publicly acknowledge it and turn it down, especially when you look at Joe Rogan, because his podcast audience is very young, you know, millennial, Gen Z, Bernie Sanders supporting, that kind of thing. Joe Rogan endorsed Bernie Sanders. So to turn that audience down, and especially an audience that big, not a good move for Joe. So interesting that Trump is pushing him for the 4-hour debate. We all know Joe physically can't do, which leads to another question. Is Joe Biden so far gone mentally, age-wise, dementia-wise, that he needs a teleprompter just to get through friendly television interviews or even the video town halls he does where he takes questions from constituents? The signs have been there over and over and over again that he can't get through those things without a teleprompter. And worse, that it appears the media may be feeding him the questions beforehand, then he reads the answers off the teleprompter. This is one of the worst episodes from the last week. A visibly exhausted Joe Biden, so exhausted he could barely speak. I wish I could show you this, but it's a podcast, but you can hear it yourself. He's doing one of these town halls he does from his basement where groups send constituents and they ask him a question. And Joe can't go on. He can't answer the question. He asks them to move the teleprompter so he can see it.
And I would like to know, what will your administration do to help them give them that chance? Thank you.
Move it up here. You know, there used to be a basic bargain in this country. Workers shared in the wealth their work helped create.
In other television interviews, like this one, Joe Biden is caught reading lines off the teleprompter, like, end quote here, that are not supposed to be read. This is from a television interview. Now, if he was doing this on the stump, wouldn't be a big deal. Trump reads off the teleprompter all the time. All politicians do when they give speeches. But this is a TV interview. Take a listen to him read the end quote part off the teleprompter, the part that's not supposed to be read.
What's the president doing? Look, Venezuela's top line message is President Trump's policy is an abject failure.
Those fiascos finally led Bret Baier to commit an actual act of journalism on Fox News, asking Biden's campaign spokesperson, TJ Ducklow, is he reading off a teleprompter even for the most simple of interviews? It sure looks like it. Here's how that went. Notice Ducklow never answers the question.
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign's talking points.
But yeah, they're using it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have an answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves four more years. We know that he lied to the American people. We know that he has not shown leadership during this crisis, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
Brett, I am not going to allow the Trump campaign to funnel their questions through Fox News and get me to respond to that.
If Joe Biden can't make it through a local interview with constituents or a pre-scripted down hall with simple questions without a teleprompter, how on earth can we turn over the governance of this important planet on earth to this man? How will he deal with foreign leaders? Difficult, consequential decisions when he can't make it through a simple interview with constituents who are friendly to him, with reporters who are pre-selected for their friendliness to him and their willingness not to ask hard questions. And are reporters feeding him the questions beforehand for these cable TV softball interviews? It seems now we have an answer. A sharp-eyed viewer caught this, and now it's all over the internet. During a virtual appearance interview on The Late Late Show with host James Corden on CBS on April 21st, Biden holds up a photo of himself and his two sons. Well, the photo kind of acts like a mirror, and so you can actually see the off-screen teleprompter. It's fascinating what you see. There's a screenshot of Biden. It's divided into four parts. A screenshot of the interviewer. And then, in the upper right-hand corner, there's the questions in green and Joe's answers in blue. This explains why he's reading things like, end quote, on national television during interviews. He's reading the teleprompter. So far, no comment from the Biden campaign on this one in particular. But it's the first real view we've gotten of what his teleprompter looks like when he reads it. There's clearly a part for his response and clearly a part in another color for the question he's being asked. Can Joe Biden make it through simple interviews or any speaking engagement or even a phone call with a foreign leader who's an adversary without a teleprompter? It's a serious question. And it's one the media clearly has no intention of ever asking. All of which leads us to today's epic rant by Elmer Yuen. He's a Hong Kong businessman and freedom fighter who sought to topple the Chinese Communist Party for decades. And he's just shocked that America would even nominate Joe Biden. To him, a Joe Biden win means a win for China and the death of freedom all over the globe. He said it on a Polish television show called Against the Tide.
What do you think about Joe Biden when he wins the re-election, the election? What do you think it will happen of Taiwan and Hong Kong?
Biden is bad news. Health-wise, I don't even think he is healthy, first of all. So I don't understand why the Democrats put him up as a candidate. It's the biggest joke. Secondly, while he was vice president under Obama, he was in charge of the relationship with China. He was directly in charge. And he let go. He let the Chinese build a military installation in the South China Sea. All right. He let the PRC basically get away with murder. His family, brother, and son have been making huge amount of money from China, and of course you know better, also from Ukraine, all right? And so it's a very corrupted family. So it would be hopeless. If he gets elected, it would be hopeless for Hong Kong, hopeless for Taiwan, and hopeless for the free world, because that would mean the PRC would have won against the free world. And it's over. Game over.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe and share it with like-minded friends and family across the country. Thanks for listening.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.